Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WKMZ-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now your host, author, pastor, and teacher, Doug Joseph.
Welcome to part one of some gold from our archives, from a message titled Upside Downside Up, a message of personal encouragement. Let's get right into it.
I bring a message for you from the Word of the Lord. My title tonight may sound a little odd at first until you get what I'm saying. My title is Upside Downside Up. I want to give a subtitle tonight. I don't often do that, but my subtitle is The Power of Getting Back Up. I sometimes read one verse from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. Tonight, I'd like to read two from the Old Testament and two from the New Testament. Reading from the Old Testament in Micah chapter 7 and verse 8, the word of the Lord says, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me." I'd like to also read for you in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16. And there, the word of the Lord says, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." Now, before I leave this one, I want to read this one for you from another translation, the New International Version. "For though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again, but the wicked are brought down by calamity." And then, directing your attention to the New Testament, I want to read from the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul, if ever anybody had justification for writing advice to us on going through tough times, the Apostle Paul did. And the Apostle Paul wrote, I want to read first from 2 Corinthians and then from Philippians. From 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, this great man of God wrote these words, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." So if there's anybody here tonight that feels like your world is upside down and you're struggling in weakness, I've got good news for you. You are in a perfect position to benefit from the strength of the Lord. And so he finishes out this verse by saying, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities." Wow. "That the power of Christ may rest upon me." And then, if you'll look with me in Philippians chapter 1, beginning with verse 21, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Look at your neighbor and tell him, either way, we win. Praise God. Let's take these hands that have just held the word of life, and let's use them to give glory to God, and let's lift our voices and give a great praise to the Lord. I'll tell you something a little bit humorous that I heard a comedian say once. He was talking about preachers telling people to say something. He said, "Wouldn't you just love it, you young single men, if the preacher told you to turn to someone near you and say, 'I love you in the Lord,' and it was a beautiful single woman that you could say that to?" And then he said, "So you would turn to her and say, 'I love you in the Lord, and ain't nothing you can do about it.'" The Bible says that laughter doeth good like a medicine. Amen. Some of the most wonderful laughter I ever heard was from the great Billy Cole. And oftentimes when I heard that laughter from him, it was when he was right smack in the middle of the most horrific trial and stress you can imagine. He had learned a secret that when you are upside down, you can be downside up at the same time. I conjured a little kind of a parable tonight, not before when I was praying and putting together my notes, but literally after I got here, just standing over there, this little parable came to me. That a father who was a great believer saw his son running from the rain and thinking of the rain as a negative thing. And so he gathered his son close and he turned to Isaiah 55 and he showed his son how that the word of the Lord coming down to bless us is symbolized by the Lord pouring out rain to bless and pouring down snow to bless. He taught his little son that snow and rain coming down are a blessing from God, not a bad thing that represents judgment, but a wonderful thing that represents blessing. From that time forward, the farmer's little son fell in love with snow globes because it represented God's blessing. The first snow globe his father bought for him, the father showed him, "Let me show you how it works." And he turned the snow globe upside down and he shook it. And then he turned it back up and the snow fell. And then there came a horrible blight upon the farmer's harvest. And the farmer sat weeping in his kitchen table and announced to his wife that our world is turned upside down. And the little boy ran in and said, "Well, Daddy, that's great, because that means God is getting ready to bless you." It's one thing to realize that when our world has been turned upside down, that God has the power to turn our world back upside up. And the Lord has that power. We can go through seasons, and certainly there are seasons. There are seasons of birth and seasons of death. There are seasons of harvest, and then there are seasons of winter time. There are seasons for building and seasons for tearing down, seasons for war and seasons for peace. The scripture tells us there are seasons for everything. And it's one thing to realize I'm in a dark place now, but it's another thing to realize the Lord is going to bring me through this dark place. And when he does, I'm going to rejoice. But I come to you tonight with a truth even more powerful than that. And it is the truth that even while my world is still upside down, God is with me and his strength is strengthening me even during the dark time. I want to draw your attention to some things that were pointed out in the scriptures that I read. In Micah chapter 7, he said, and let me point out, the scripture not only indicates that this man of God is crying out on behalf of the people of God, saying to the enemy, "Don't you rejoice over me when I'm down." But there's a scripture, I can read it for you and may read it for you tonight. There's a scripture in which we all are commanded not to rejoice even over our enemy when they are down. And so we don't rejoice over a brother who has stumbled. We don't rejoice over a sister who has stumbled. We don't even rejoice over an enemy who has stumbled. Recently, a charade of impeachment has been going on. And I suppose that we could sing the song, "This is the impeachment that never ends," because they won't seem to hand over the articles of impeachment to the Senate to try the impeachment. But I actually watched a video, and I want to point out to you that to anyone who loves America, anyone who loves America, impeachment, if necessary, should be a last resort and done literally like a funeral. And I watched a video in which one of our congressman was on her way to the vote for the impeachment, smiling from ear to ear with glee. We're about to impeach our president. My friends, such things ought never to be. I read recently that over 80-something percent of the people serving in Congress, according to a survey done some years ago, they found that a massive percentage of them could not name the three branches of government. How on earth do people get elected that don't understand how the Constitution should work? But I bring to you this truth that, and it was mentioned in our adult Sunday school class this morning, Brother Bud mentioned that even though Saul was trying to hunt David down and kill him, that David refused to fight against or disrespect Saul. He reckoned Saul to be the Lord's anointed. And I would add one point to, and of course, that lesson is progressing through the story week by week, and we'll get more in future lessons. But I just would comment that not only would David not raise his hand against Saul, who was clearly his enemy and clearly trying to kill him, not only would he not raise his hand against him, but when God finally dealt with Saul, David didn't laugh. He didn't dance. He wept over his enemy falling. But so it is, it's so powerful that Micah writes this: mine enemy, you're going to see me stumble. You're going to see me fall. You're going to see me when my world is turned upside down. And I suppose the enemy cannot be presumed to have any morals or any decency or any Christian conventions or values that would prevent the enemy from rejoicing against us when we fall. But Micah just challenges the enemy, don't you rejoice against me when I fall, because when I fall, I am going to get back up. Amen. I want to tell you, and what I'm about to say, probably every silver hair person here has heard it, but I want to tell you for the benefit of our children and our young ones, that quitters never win, and winners never quit. There is one difference, and one difference only, between those who make it to heaven and those who do not. It's not whether or not they fall. Everybody falls. The difference is, did you get back up? The difference between those who make it in through the pearly gates and those who don't will not be that the winners never had their world turned upside down. Believers, just like anybody, will from time to time struggle with back sets and bad circumstances and a devastated harvest if you're a farmer. Believers from time to time will put up with gloominess and sadness, sorrow, mourning, even depression and heaviness and oppression. Believers will have to put up with sickness and all of these things. But as they sung to us tonight, There comes a point, even though the storm may be raging right now, there comes a point when Jesus comes walking on the water and he will calm the storm. He will heal the disease. He will bring away that spirit of heaviness and give you a garment of praise. In one of our recent services, people were worshiping the Lord down here, and I was down here in with them. And all at once, I got a little nudge from the Lord, a little tap on the shoulder. And the Lord told me, he said, go and tell your wife, go and tell the singers and musicians that they need to start preparing to sing the song. There's a promise coming down your dusty road. And I obeyed the Lord, and I have confidence that they will sing it, and it will be powerful. And that is a wonderful truth. May fall, get up, and then fall and get up. and then fall and get up, and then fall and get up. No matter how many times you fall, you're gonna be all right as long as you get back up just one more time. Praise God. Hallelujah. But as I mentioned, I want to draw your attention to this even more powerful truth. It's in the latter part of Micah chapter 7 and verse 8. He not only said that there's coming a day when this snow globe is going to get turned the right side up. He not only says there's coming a day when the Lord is going to bring me out of this, but he says this amazing thing. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. On the occasion of my 50th birthday, my goodness, it sounds so disheartening to say I'm a half a century old. Young people are like, what did you all eat for food on the ark? But here, a couple of years ago, on the occasion of my 50th birthday, you all organized such a wonderful party and gave me cards and gifts and things. And I keep those cards in a little bag in my office. And every now and then I get them out and I read them. And when life gets tough, I get them out and I read them. One of the gifts was a journal. It's a lovely little journal. It's just a leather-bound book with paper to record your thoughts. There's a little intriguing thing about the journal. And the intriguing thing is that the word journal on the front cover, gold foil embossed ink on the leather, it says the word journal in an interesting way. And I looked it up. It's called an ambigram. And an ambigram is very interesting. It means a word that says something from more than one viewpoint. And it can say something different. But this particular ambigram, if you hold the journal up facing you, it says journal. And when you turn it upside down, it says journal. No matter which way you flip it, it still says journal. It's very clever. And it made me think of the fact that no matter whether I'm upside up or upside down, the light of Christ still is the same. It literally, as the Apostle Paul said, hey, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He basically said, hey, I'm good either way, up or down, live or die. Or if I could say it this way, either way, we win. What a powerful truth. And when our life is turned upside down and we just keep living for God and our life is turned upside down and we're sitting in darkness and we just keep worshiping God, that must make the devil so mad. I just love that. I love to do anything that would just aggravate him. Amen. There's a great wisdom in this. And this wisdom is about staying true and staying faithful when life isn't going your way. In Proverbs chapter 24, as a matter of fact, I want to take time to just read Proverbs chapter 24. And I'd like to do something that I've done from time to time. I'd like for you to read along with me in the King James Version while I read aloud from the New International Version. And Sister Eliana can put it up there. Which one do you have? Okay, put it up there in the King James Version. She's going to put it on the screen, the King James Version. I'm going to read it from the New International Version. And it has these wonderful tidbits of wisdom, these little commands, for instance, of what not to do. He starts off saying this, Proverbs 24:1. Do not envy wicked men. You ever seen somebody wicked? Man, driving that Lamborghini, you live in that big old fancy house. Don't envy them. He says this, don't even desire their company, for their hearts plot violence and their lips talk about making trouble. By wisdom, a house is built, and through understanding, it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and precious treasures. A wise man has great power, and a man of knowledge increases strength. For waging war, you need guidance, and for victory, many advisors. Wisdom is too high for a fool. In the assembly at the gate, he has nothing to say. He who plots evil will be known as a schemer. The schemes of folly are sin, and men detest a mocker. If you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength? Now, let me just pause and say, basically what that means is if you stumble when times get tough, you're weak. Circle back to round two. In my weakness, his strength is made perfect. He says, rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering towards slaughter. In other words, if you see evil that is threatening people's lives, you can't just turn a blind eye and do nothing about it. You've got to act. You've got to stop that slaughter. I'm just going to pause at this point and say, a few days ago, a wicked madman took a shotgun into a church in Texas, meaning to kill a bunch of people. What he didn't know is that there were some people in that church who went to church concealed carry. And I think they must have read this verse. One of them just happened to be a firearms safety instructor, and he was a good shot. The wicked man pulled out the shotgun and got off some pulls of the trigger, but the believer in their church, there were several who drew their concealed carry weapon, but the believer who did that, he drew his weapon and he fired once, took him out. There would have been many, many killed, but there were lives saved because he said, I will not stand by and do nothing when I can prevent slaughter. It behooves me at this point to tell you that you can find on the internet and you can watch video of what happened. And it reminded me of quite some months ago when we had a safety training session here at our church, and we invited other churches to it. And this was a thing that was sponsored by the state police. And they talked about what to do. And I would tell you that there was great advice given because the assumption made is that many are going to need to be doing something and they don't have a weapon. And the idea was get out of sight. And if you can get out of sight and then get out of the room, then do that. But thank God that somebody said, I'm not going to get out of sight. I'm not going to get out of the room. I'm going to go toward the danger. I'm going to confront him. And if God will help me, I'm going to stop this right now. And in that assembly, there were multiple people moving to do exactly that. I will tell you that if you watch the video, that even after the bangs from the shotgun begin to fill the room, there are some that are just kind of in shock. They don't know what to do and they don't do anything. They just keep sitting. I saw a few that were, they heard the bangs and realized gun, and then they leaned down into the pew to get out of sight. Good job. Good job. But there were some who said, excuse me, I'm going to approach you with something that's going to put an end to this. He says this in verse 12, but if you say, but we knew nothing about this, does not he who weighs the hearts perceive it? If you could have prevented the slaughter and you didn't, you're not going to be able to stand the day of judgment and say, oh, but Lord, I didn't know anything about it. He says, does not he who guards your life know it? Will he not repay each person according to what he has done? And then I love this next comparison. The scripture compares wisdom to the sweetness of honey. Brother Ken would love this verse. He says, "Eat honey, my son, for it is good. Honey from the comb is sweet to your taste. Know also that wisdom is sweet to your soul. If you find it, there is a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Do not lie in wait like an outlaw against a righteous man's house. Do not raid his dwelling place. For though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again, but the wicked is brought down by calamity." And then he says, "Do not gloat when your enemy falls. When he stumbles, do not let your heart rejoice, or the Lord will see and disprove and turn his wrath away from him. Do not fret because of evil men or be envious of the wicked, for the evil man has no future hope, and the lamp of the wicked will be snuffed out. Fear the Lord and the king, my son, and do not join with the rebellious, for those two will send sudden destruction upon them, and who knows what calamities they can bring. These also are the sayings of the wise. To show partiality in judging is not good. Whoever says to the guilty, 'You are innocent,' peoples will curse him and nations denounce him. But it will go well with those who convict the guilty, and rich blessing will come upon them. An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. Finish your outdoor work and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. Do not testify against your neighbor without cause, or use your lips to deceive. Do not say, 'I'll do to him as he has done to me. I'll pay that man back for what he did.'" And then a little bit of closing wisdom about a good work ethic. "I went past the field of the sluggard, past the vineyard of the man who lacks judgment. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man." Is the Bible awesome, or is the Bible awesome? Now, I mentioned to you this powerful truth that when we're down, we trust he's going to flip us back up again. But there's an even more powerful truth, and that is that even while we're still upside down, the Lord is still with us. Back in 2005, a daily devotion blog posted an entry for a certain day, and much later I found it and I saved a copy of it. I found it back in 2012. I think it had been posted in 2005. I saved a copy of it, and I would tell you the name of the man who wrote it, but I don't know his name. He signs it with two first names. He signs it Chris/Michael. Not Chris, last name Michael, Chris/Michael. So I don't know if it's written by two guys, one guy named Chris, another guy named Michael, or a guy who has a name and a nickname. I just don't know what to make of that. But I do want to read it for you tonight. He quotes 2 Corinthians 4:8-9. "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." Or if I could put it this way, upside down, but still trusting God. He says this, today's verse is one of great encouragement.
Well, that's all the time we have for now, but join us again when we'll bring you more in this continuing series.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WKMZ-FM.